Good morning. Today is Monday, May the 21st. Joining us this morning is the bank dude, Mr. Dalby. Good morning, sir.
And as always, it is absolutely a delight to see you.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly...
Wink, wink, cough, cough.
Healthy, yeah.
Oh, is this a contagious situation?
I hope so, because we're together.
Okay. Our quote this morning comes from Mr. Einstein. The Lord God is subtle, but malicious he is not. Yeah.
Very good. And I understand you you attended a pretty incredible event.
Yeah, Mike Cloney, a local guy who went into became a priest, a Catholic priest. I guess that's redundant, but that's okay. Yesterday was recognition of his 50th year. So there were a lot of cool old pictures from his ordination through current, but also a lot of the Cloney family.
Wow.
Some of the old ones. There was a picture of his great-great-grandma, Beatrice.
Wow.
Okay. You know, so there's some connections to some of the geographic areas in the area. Also, Beatrice Flats.
Right. For
some of the old-timers, you know where that is. I won't bore everybody else.
which you are already.
That's okay. But some of the historical connections and some old pictures in Fortuna and things, it was just kind of a neat, as well as a bunch of folks that, we know hanging out together and having some fun. So it was nice.
He's a great guy. I had the honor of serving with him in Rotary for years, and was just a real class act, and I really, really respect and admire him.
Well, after the show on Friday, Karen Deemer, who was on, said, I wonder how many thousands of weddings he's done in Humboldt County. you think about it, and you go, okay, 50 years. Now, he wasn't here for a good chunk. He was down south in Ukiah, then up north. Man of the Year in Del Norte County and some things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about it, if you do three or four a month, which is probably par for the course, annualized, 75, that's 3,500 weddings. The progyny of those weddings. I mean, touched a lot of folks in the area. That's just kind of cool. In addition to being faculty and involved with St. Bernard's as a student, and also then as the teacher, instructor, track coach, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it was just Rex Bone was there reading the whereases from the soups.
That probably went on forever.
It was a two-pager. Afterwards, he came over. We were talking, and I said, you could have said, what this means is you're so old. It was on and on. I mean, it was really cool. On and on and on, all the different areas that he's been involved with. So.
50 years, if you looked at him, you think, okay, he went into the priesthood at age 5.
Pretty close. Anyway, without Father Mike being here, okay, fine, that's enough. What are you hearing out there on the national scene that's got you excited?
Well, we've excited good or excited bad. We'll just say excited.
So. Well,
we got excited neutral.
Two halves of the show. Pick one side to start with.
So, of course, rates are going up, and we anticipate 3 more 0.25% bumps in interest rates. So you should see that's both good and bad news, depending on whether you're saving or borrowing. So my... then the good side is that you should see some interest rate movement on deposit rates, moving upward. It won't be as drastic as, it's not a one-to-one ratio. It doesn't come down in a one-to-one, and it doesn't go up in a one-to-one ratio. But for the most part...
So it's not like gas prices.
Exactly. exactly.
Gotcha.
So the... But on the lending side, it means that rates are going to be going up. And my concern with that is simply this. Rates were below the bottom. And I won't explain that right now because that would take a lot of time. But really, rates were below the absolute bottom that the Federal Reserve set for years. And businesses and individuals across the country have reset their budgets and their business models around an extremely low interest rate model.
As if it was normal.
Correct. Because it was normal for so long. When something is the same for that long, it does. It's the natural thing. It becomes the norm. And so as rates rise, this could put some real strain on individuals and businesses that didn't expect or didn't plan for rate rise. So I think if you have any variable rate debt, you need to look at that. Or if you're looking at any substantial, capital acquisitions, such as buying a home or a commercial building or something, you need to budget in. It's going to be a little more expensive moving forward.
What is it? How does it translate? If let's say a 0.25% bump, and you got the housing market of whatever number it is. So if it bumps by 0.25%, what do you project the market will be constricted enough so that a percentage are no longer able to qualify? Is there a ratio like that to just...
I've never run a ratio like that at all. Certainly, but the assumption of your question is that as rates rise,
less qualify
to purchase a home. Now, generally, what that means on the other side is that housing costs come down because in order to sell, you need to get to the point where people can buy them. Unfortunately,
so still
in our market,
focused on the monthly payment. Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately, in our market, demand is so much higher than supply that I don't think we're going to see housing prices decline for that reason.
Ah, I heard a hint, and we'll explore that when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. John, the national scene as the rates start to creep up. Now, in the past, we've talked about consumer debt in various forms. The credit card numbers certainly haven't come down as the prime was. And you've kind of shared in the past that they're almost two different critters.
Yes, they are. That's a risk-based rate, not a...
Right.
Not an investment based rate.
And not one with collateral, obviously. Right. So as the rates are starting to percolate up, do the credit card rates see that as an opportunity, or because of some of the bashing that has gone on and now constraints in the financial services industry, will it continue to operate independently? And if the prime bounces 1 point, you're not going to see too much change in those.
I would not, first of all, I don't operate in the world of credit cards. So, that's something that a small bank doesn't do very well. So we really don't play in that arena very much.
But it impacts your customers.
Correct. Well, it does if they're carrying balances. And that's the key. The first thing I would tell you is don't carry balances on your credit cards, because that is the most expensive way to finance anything that you can do. Although I will tell you, maybe because I don't have balances, I get letters in the mail from my credit card company all the time telling me that I can have a year with zero interest rate if I take a cash advance. And I'm sitting there going, gosh, that's, if I ever needed to borrow money, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Make sure you can pay it back. Because
zero is nice.
Yeah, because generally in those deals, and I haven't read the fine print, but generally those zero interest rate deals, if you go over that year, it's retroactive and you pay the interest for that year. So read the fine print if you play that game. With that said, your question really was, is interest rates on credit cards going to move up with the prime rate? And that is an individual decision of every company as they look at it. But as I told you before, those rates aren't really driven by their underlying cost of funds. It's driven by the cost of the transactions. Somebody's got to pay for the rewards that you get, and the risk, because credit cards are generally the first thing that gets charged off in the case of a bankruptcy.
Are there other linked costs associated with what we're starting to see in the real estate arena that could dampen or accelerate economies in the country?
That country, across the country, we're seeing, the jobless rate go down substantially. And in fact, it's a problem here, it's a problem across the country, is finding people willing to work. There are more jobs than there are people right now.
Well, the military's probably got a bit of a pickle too, where they went from being able to pick and choose to looking for people who can hold a gun.
Or know what one is.
Well, true, yeah.
So, it's particularly true in the trades. So the construction guys are really struggling finding people that are willing to swing a hammer. Yeah, show up, swing a hammer, install carpets, windows, across everybody in the trades. Their biggest constraint right now is finding people willing to work. And I think that has a lot to do with the mentality of the millennials, because they have a different way of looking at life than you or I did. And so, that's problematic, and that is one thing that is going to drive up construction costs. And, I'm very aware of that because we're in construction right now of our Henderson Center branch.
Now, you're not having to put solar panels on the roof, are you?
We have chosen to.
Okay. Is that something else the state's looking at requiring on all new homes?
That is correct. So, it's called PV, photovoltaic.
You're into the trendy phrases.
Yeah, that's a trendy phrase.
You've been hanging around Strombeck, huh?
So we did put them on our branch in Arcata, and they pay back. They pay themselves off in time, and they're going to go on our Henderson Center branch. We can't put them on the branch in Eureka because we're shaded by the Arkley Center. Because if you look
just
at
not it, enough sunlight.
Yeah, there's just not enough sunlight there. I did ask about putting a big windmill up there, but somehow the city wasn't too excited about that idea.
Probably
actually,
have to have
I
a,
never actually asked.
A bird kill
it's
study.
It's fun. Yeah, exactly.
What are some of those increased costs that new homeowners are going to be looking at? I mean, we touched on two. One, government regulation changes. Another, the marketplace changes. Are there other things that you see that might be dampeners?
So let's look at, there's a big difference between us and other communities. So let's contrast ourselves with Reading. So Reading, if you look around Reading, there's a whole bunch of flat land. And so subdivisions, can be large and they're easy to put in. You just got to bring in the water and utilities but there's plenty of flat land to do that with. Here in Humboldt County, we don't have that. And so because of the mountainous terrain, the limited access to flat areas, it's very, very difficult to put in subdivisions. So subdivisions are generally relatively small. So supply is not keeping up with demand. So that's one issue. It is more new construction is more expensive because of codes. Like now you have to have fire sprinklers in new constructed homes. It's just one example. But the biggest issue is the supply of the raw land.
Always is. KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, Lolita Cheese, and Redec. John, looking at the supply and demand, you were referencing that the housing stock in Humboldt County is more stable, less volatile, which means they can't build it that much. Arcata's doing a lot. Do you sense that there's going to be, for other communities, a public demand for change, not in the zoning restrictions, but in the building restrictions? Why not have some two-bedroom, one-bath houses that are 800 to 1,000 square feet on properties, lots that are smaller than the standard that we have now? So that there are some of those entry-level homes. You guys on the financing side, there's less risk because there's less money out there on a per-property basis. And then there's some housing stocks for first-time buyers to be able to get into the sequence of home ownership.
Yeah, there's been a lot of movement towards that. And I think if you see what the city's doing with trying to increase density within the city limits and the city of Eureka, I think Windsong Development in Arcata was smaller units, higher density.
Kind of a sample of that.
Yeah, exactly. So you're seeing a trend towards that, and it was one of the things that was presented to me was the concept of, you know, like my wife and I, you know, we have a large home that we raised our kids in. Well, our kids are gone.
And you haven't turned it into a retirement home.
Exactly. So do we scale down and use, you know, less housing for our own personal needs? I mean, that is a trend that people are looking at and saying, okay, can we, and it was amazing to me when I saw the statistics, how many residences have only one occupant in them?
It's like a spouse died?
Spouse died, single, people that are single, you know, whatever it is. But there's, you know, I was surprised the number of residences in Eureka that only have one resident living in them. And some of them are larger.
But not apartments, right? Or apartments and houses.
I don't remember.
Any combination.
Yeah, okay. I don't remember. It's been a while. But I was surprised by the number. And so, yeah, density is one way for us to solve it when you don't have a lot of land to subdivide, so I see a trend going in that direction as far as financing. It really doesn't matter whether it's a big home or a small home, you know, you qualify or you don't.
But I would think the pool would be larger if the entry price was lower.
Correct.
I mean, if you get into something with, I don't know, let's say $25,000 down, so what does that buy you, $100,000?
So with, yeah, and so one of the bigger issues, and this is the one that I get concerned about, is if you take an entry-level position in Humboldt County, it's almost impossible for you to afford a home.
Right.
Because there is such a disparity between, you know, our housing costs because of the lack of supply and what our jobs are paying. And, you know, because as we've moved more and more towards tourism and away from, you know, resource-based economy, which is, you know, logging, lumber, and so forth, we are seeing, you know, wages being compressed, and but the housing prices haven't come down with them.
So wouldn't that make sense that you'd have a lot of either entry-level homes for those that wanted that, or townhouse complexes, not student housing, but regular folks' housing with an eye on maybe a couple with one one young kid or something, like a little bit of a different twist, but using the available property going vertical rather than going horizontal and doing some of that kind of
stuff. So I think you're correct, and I haven't asked the question, but I believe the case is for those that are developing properties, there's more money to be made in the higher end than the lower end. So,
because of just margin?
I believe there's greater margin. Now, don't quote me on that, but I believe that's the case. But with that said, you're absolutely right. We should be looking at developing more entry-level homes because that is what is needed more so. But, you know, we need them across the spectrum.
So as that is identified, and I know more people are talking about that now in public rather than one-on-one kinds of things, but out. Who's the driving force behind that? You know, you don't want to bake in government subsidization because then that is an artificial factor. It isn't allowing the marketplace to do it. I would think that there would be a subspecialty. Like an apartment building has got to be different than building a three-bedroom, two-bath.
Absolutely. Know,
traditional.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have those specialists who can do the high density or the apartment building with some of the amenities that, you know, I don't know what percentage of folks under 35 want to own a home, let alone mm-hmm. are able to, but to have some of the housing options here that exist pretty darn near everywhere else, but not in Humboldt County.
Not sure I understand the question.
Is there anybody leading the charge?
There are a number of people that have done stuff historically here, and we can kind of go through some of those after the break, because I know we're coming up on one.
Oh, the big orange ball.
Big orange ball.
Yeah, okay. It's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby. John, as you look into the summertime now, with all the national economic stuff, with some of the local, what do you see? What are the two or three either challenges that are out there or two or three opportunities that are out there that you see we can mm-hmm. really kind of jumpstart things with?
So locally, I mean, the biggest question mark for us is going to be what's going to happen with cannabis. We saw the green rush where we saw a lot of money coming in and people looking for opportunities, much like the gold rush. That's why we've kind of tagged it as the green rush. And we saw it pushed up commercial building lease rates. It pushed up rural property costs, and it also pushed up residential real estate costs as money was flooding into the area and people were coming here. Then as you know, it became evident that supply far outweighed demand, we're starting to see that softening. So where's, you know, when is it going to equalize and at what point?
So you're thinking the fixed side rather than the trimigant action that comes in about this time each year?
Yeah, so you know, there are certain things that aren't going to change. You know, the black market guys, I think we were talking between the in the breaks that, you know, the black market guys are still doing well, but even that, the supply for that is dwindling as time goes on, as more and more states are legalizing recreational marijuana. Each time they do that, then the black market guys lose a potential market, and some, you know, the demand drops for what they're doing. So it's, you know, when does it equalize, and where's it going to land? That's a big question. And then the impacts had some negative impacts on some of the local businesses, first forcing them out of their locations because they can't afford to pay the same rates, and then then as things have declined, we're seeing many of the businesses, you know, their volumes dropping as...
Related and unrelated?
Related to cannabis, yeah. Most of it's related to cannabis. We're assuming, you know, you can't really track it all. What's going to happen? There's some big question marks here for our local economy as this thing reach equilibrium, because that's what markets do. Supply and demand will at some point in time align, and when that happens, then we'll be at that point of equilibrium. What does that look like? And nobody knows. And that's one of the challenges we have as we look forward into the economy.
Any non-marijuana related?
There isn't much happening other than, you know, there's demand for construction, demand for tradesmen. Virtually every business I talk to is looking for, you know, qualified people that are willing to work.
I'd like to think that was different, but I think it's been consistent for decades. Thanks for coming by.
Always good to see you, Brian.
Like to see the parking lot full of customers.
Yeah.
I'll see everybody tomorrow.